Welcome back to the AI Minds podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the companies of tomorrow being built AI first. I am your host, Demetrios, and this episode is brought to you by DeepGram, the number one voice API on the internet today, trusted by the world's top conversational AI leaders, startups, and enterprises like Spotify, Twilio, NASA, and Citibank. In this episode, we're talking with Derek, the co-founder of Talk. How are you doing today, Derek?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
So let's start out with something that is a little bit peculiar. You were a professor and you left the wonderful world of tenure and you decided that you wanted to become an entrepreneur. Not necessarily the path that most would take, but what were you a professor in and why did you leave?
So I was teaching machine learning, data visualization at University of North Carolina. And really, it's the entrepreneurial spirit, right? When you build a good product or you build a different research stuff, you want the world, like what DeepGram is doing, you want the world to take advantage of it. You want to apply that to the real economic and businesses. That's why I decided leaving the professorship was one of my, two of my previous co-founders. One was my PhD student. The other was my postdoc student. So three of us just started a journey back then.
Incredible. And did the University of North Carolina invest in your startup?
No. So that was another story for another episode. It was a lot of back and forth. North Carolina wasn't known for investment or angel investment or whatnot. But we got all our resources from Canada, overseas, and all different areas. But we do contribute back to the university and start sitting on their chancellor's boards and really helping future entrepreneurs to get more resource and funding in this neighborhood.
Yeah, so it's not really, it doesn't have that muscle like Stanford does then, I guess.
Oh, no. No, Stanford is it's a machine. It's so beautifully done.
Exactly. A little more time with you on that board and you'll be able to make it happen. So you went out and you raised some money. You had quite some success. Can you tell us about this first trip around the sun as an entrepreneur? What'd you learn and what happened?
It was very fortunate and lucky for us at that time. We started around 2014, 2015, focusing on customer experience, right? So we built natural language understanding machine and platform to help global Fortune 2000 companies looking at multiple channels of their customer experience, feedback, and by analyzing the textual data there. It was really good that we helped companies in FinServe, pharma, and large all around the world to improve their satisfaction, improve their operations in the back office. And I've been running for 9 years of the organization and then transitioned off in 2022, just looking at the world after COVID and say, hey, what else can we do, right? How can we help organizations to mitigate the networking, the engagement factor?
Okay, so you have deep understanding in machine learning and data visualization. You went out there and you started to tackle the hard problem, especially pre-ChatGPT, of how can we understand what is out there on the internet about our companies, or you were helping companies understand what was being said about them.
Correct. Right. For example, we helped one of the large pharma companies when they deploy a new diabetic drugs out in Australia. They did a first trial run from the kind of their clinical trial people, and we got all the data back. And a lot of the fun feedback coming out of that is people don't know how to use it. People don't know how to inject, where to inject, how to inject, all those information. Now, you said it exactly beautifully, it's pre-GPT, right? We got natural language processing, we extract all those information, visualize that for the decision maker, and they move on really fast. They're one of the largest company on the planet Earth for pharma. They build a website, interactive. So for people come in and say, oh, I don't know where, oh, here it is. What's your type? How many days? Blah, 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 blah. You can insert that. Hey, here's where you want to inject it. Just based on the feedback we gave to people. We feel like we save people's lives, right?
Yeah.
By providing those information, that makes us feel really nice about the work we have done before.
Yeah. The pharma use cases are high impact use cases. And I imagine the FinServe also, you're dealing with people's lives and people's money. So
it's very crucial for us to get all the good services over those industries.
Yep. Incredible. And so then you stepped away from that business and you didn't have enough. You still had the entrepreneurial itch. How'd you meet your now co-founder? What's that story about?
Yeah, it's really fun. Like we met through a mutual investor. So our investor in New York, hedge fund manager, was like, "Hey, Derek, I heard enough your wife complaining you're moving all the furniture in the house like three times a week. So enough is enough. Fly up here. I want to meet your guy that we put money in, Paul Roberts. By himself, he bring the company to NASDAQ, right? And then he transitioned out of that. He said, I don't know what you and Paul can do, right? But just go meet.
So, you're both great founders. You need to hang out for a little bit and the sparks will fly.
Entrepreneur dating. And
so Paul had previously IPO'd his last company?
Yeah, QBN. It's a programmatic fraud detection company. They do a lot of real-time fraud detection for performance industries and et cetera.
Also in the machine learning space.
In the machine learning space, right? So they have sub-milliseconds to decide whether this transaction is a fraud or not, which is very much dear to my heart, is we want to solve problem at scale and then really solving more societal impacts. And that's quite honestly led to Talk's DNA is it need to be enterprise grade, you need to solve a problem, and then it need to be at scale. That's why we started this together.
Incredible. So you've been coming at it from this idea of enterprise first, and you then, sorry, I interrupted you. Can you finish the story on how you came about creating Talk? And then we'll get into the enterprise.
It's really fun like that, right? So from the professor, when GPT came out and when I have more time on my hand, it's like, hey, I need to talk to something, right? So I built this GPT bot like a therapist that I always talk to. So when I met Paul, they would say, hey, other than the blockchains, they were talking about you can order Chinese food using blockchain by now, which we didn't. So all of that, we just joke around about it, but then say, hey, Paul, pick up your phone, call this number, get a feeling about what it is. He said, dude, you have something, right? His background from performance marketing space, really to say, people don't like other humans to pitch products to them, right? It's very tiresome. We have seen around chasing the sun from offshore call centers to nearshore call centers to Vegas and come back out to the offshore. All this start coming to the point of, why can't we have something that people actually like and something that would be consistent and ethical, giving them the product and introduce them the things that may be benefit for them. So that's what we're talking about. And Paul and I are entrepreneurs who are like, we can't just invent a product in vacuum, and we won't. The first thing we went out is say, hey, let's find somebody that may benefit from this. So we went back to our investor who said, oh, you're in finance, right? You want to reach customer, right? We have this idea. Do you want to use the product? He was like, yeah, I'll give it a take. And then once he saw that, he was like, hey, where can I sign up? Where can I sign up this service? This is so good. I want to use it to reach out to manage people. And that's where I'm pointing to say, there's something we can build out. There's something we can pull down together and just make it happen.
And so the inspiration was really most people like myself, when I want to go and buy something, I just want to go know everything about it, watch reviews on YouTube, hear different people talking about it in different communities, maybe search a few subreddits, make my opinion, and then go figure it out and buy it. What I don't want to do is I don't want to go onto the web page and hit that contact sales button and then have to book a meeting. And from that meeting, I get the whole runaround on a sales call where they say, yeah, let's have another sales call to decide what we talked about in this sales call. And it's like, the last thing I need right now is more sales calls on my agenda. Can we just get the information that I'm looking for? I want to know if you do this, this, and this. And I've heard some bad things about your performance on this. How have you addressed that?
Yep.
Those kind of questions are what I'm really interested in when I get on a sales call. But of course, me being someone who used to do sales, I totally understand the incentives of the salesperson. They want to slow play it. They want to make sure that you're the right fit. They want to get you really like understand how much can they take you for, that type of thing. And so it's almost like this painful dance that you have to do. And you said, the hell with all that.
Yeah.
Let's just give people what they want.
Exactly. And to your exact point, right? So what we all saw, you from the sales side, we're looking at this is it's the alignment. salespeople has the alignment. They want to make more KPI. They want to be able to say, hey, I want to extract every single freaking dollar out of you and just make it happen. AI doesn't. We build AI to be the one that really to ease your pain of, hey, here's a product. If you want to order the product, you can ask 10, an hour, 40, whatever you want to do with the bot. It will tell you what the goods and bads, factual, right? And then you can make the decision. And then sometimes the bot, people will pick up the phone and say, curse the bot out. And bot doesn't care. You can tell them to jump off the East River 50 times, 51 times, bot will say, hey, Demetrio, how about this product you want to buy, right? So all those things where we have seen is it's a new way of for us to get information, right? And the last comment on that is to your point on sales, I got one of my friends to say, I purposely bought Amazon Prime with advertisement. I was like, why did you do this? He was like, because I want to get some information. I want to know what's cool out there. I want to know what people are building product-wise. I want to get educated. And that's where talk to the AI would be helpful is like, let's spread the word out, right? Let's let the people know what's going on and be factual about it too.
Wow, okay. And so is it primarily outbound services or is it inbound?
So it's both, right? So we look at this for different industries and different use cases. So for industry, we're really strong in insurance, warranties, financial services, and we're marching to risk and healthcare right now industry-wise. For use case-wise, it's more outbound engagement, inbound customer support, customer necessity. We build talk, one thing there, other than our security compliance first, we don't want this just a talk, right? I don't want it just to be able to, as a bubblehead talking. We build a lot of downstream automation. So we actually took the time to build a subsystem, which we call the plugin, that can help you to book appointments, write everything to a CRM system, do form filling, updating, pulling information, you think about it, right? So that's why we work with warranty companies where when I call in, hey, I want to update my VIN number for the vehicle, instead of talking to a real human, the bot will get it done for you. The bot will confirm wow. that it is up to the CRM and you're done, right? Think about the power of integration there.
Wow, okay. Now, let's touch on this idea of compliance first and really thinking about the enterprise, because both co-founders came from what it seems like backgrounds where you had to have that in mind. I mean, when it comes to fraud detection, you have to be compliance. If you're dealing with that, there's so many regulations that are around money and how things work. So it makes sense that it's in your blood. What made you want to do that now? Because as you said, maybe you're going after small to medium-sized businesses now. Maybe that isn't top of mind for them. Or am I mistaken? Are you only thinking about enterprise use cases? And of course, that's going to be top of mind.
Yeah. So there's two pro, right? The landscape of AI and what people may call robocalling, AI dialing consent is a rapid changing landscape, right? And this landscape, there's two ways. We fundamentally believe AI need to be ethical, right? It need to be compliant. But also from a regulatory point of view, FTCs always have different ways that making sure it's a healthy environment for people being contacted, like the TCPA regulation, the DNC regulation, and all this, right? Almost every business who want to leverage AI for outbound or inbound support need to be aware of this. But many of them just don't, right? They would be like, they either don't know or there's no services remind them this is key. That's where we have built in essentially a federal DNC list. We don't allow you to call anybody that's our family did not call us, right? So what does that do? That will actually save you quite a bit of a hassle if you accidentally call somebody on DNC list, because that is finable behavior that is out there, right? It's very key there. We do work a lot with larger entities, right? So for example, we would dial about 6 million minutes per month. Wow. And we can go out to 100,000 dials per hour. So it's massive there. But just like the programmatic fraud detection my co-founders built, is we want to tackle every single one of them, right? So that everybody is out of any issues, want to do this, and they're all within the compliance area.
Incredible. What scale? That is amazing.
And that's powered by you. So that's a shameless plug back to DeepGram. We're not working with you guys.
That's awesome. Well, now talk me through this a little bit more, because I think I understand how you're saying folks are not necessarily going to have compliance top of mind, or what they can and can't do top of mind, especially if these regulations are changing. So you're almost taking that upon yourselves to educate your end user. Is there a little bit of danger that they might still do something incorrectly and then blame you because you let them?
Very interesting. So Talk is a platform, right? So we're a full self-serve SaaS platform. You can come in, can change different things. But for us, we believe as a second time or fourth time as audit entrepreneurs, we have the ability to influence the market, right? We can go to say, hey, Dimitri, are you trying to be compliant with this or not? If you come to us and say, no, we're not, then we have the rights to not serve you. Like, it's very important for us is to make sure that we can go to sleep tight at the evening. Yeah. Right? I don't want to do anything shady, knowing that the whole market as we bring into, that's the fundamental operating mindset we have. But concretely speaking, so where people get into trouble is without the one magic keyword, consent, right? So anywhere you can do a lot of things with a customer, as long as you have their opt-in and consent. We often remind our customer, consent is your best friend in outbound or inbound process. And with our system also building is all the checkpoints. Like say I mentioned earlier, we got DNC check out every single call that dials out. And then if people, when you dial out to that individual, say, dare to, hey, stop calling me, I don't want to be contacted again, our AI will automatically add them to a DNC list. So this is nice. Not going to be offended, right? So that they don't get pissed off. And then we build in, we really took the time to build the diner system. We built in the entire TCPA calling regulation. So Dimitri won't get a phone call at 4 a.m. and that's outside of TCPA kind of permitted time zone. We have all those checkpoints built into our system, and we are partnering up with other security-minded companies with APIs just to make sure we can maximize the ability to protect you. And then at the end of the day, if you come back and say, you know what, Ward, I'm going to do something shady. And we got our partner like Twilio help us capture this. We got our self-compliance team help us capture that. If we saw your offender or repeated offender, knowing back to the first principle, we're not going to serve you, right? It's that I think piece by piece, we can have a very healthy and communication environment, that's so key for my kids and probably your kids to grow up into.
So what are some results that you've been seeing? What are some things that make you really excited about how Talk has been implemented?
Yeah, no, it's really opened up the top of the funnel for organization and in a fast amount of time, right? So typically what we got, say, in a auto warranty space, we can get the people start dialing within 24 hours. They can start looking at this and start reaching out to their customers or providing supports within 24 hours. And the result is there. We have two KPIs that we always tell people. Number one is our AI conversion rate. We call it ARC, AICR. So the AI conversion rate is when I call an individual, pick up it, what's the percentage I can convert you to any actions, right? Talk to a closer or something. The other one is the answer rate. Like, it's really how we can help you to reach out all those people, pick up the phone.
Yeah.
So we just had a customer who recently started outbound the auto warranty, and they came back. We transferred about 200, 300 calls for that customer a day. And they came back say, dude, I need to hire more people. I need to hire more salespeople on the back end because we're start dropping calls that you guys are transfer for us, and to which we have about 27% conversion rate on the AI conversion rate for a customer, which is fascinating, right? Again, I don't want to take all the credit to Talk. It's like then the quantity of the leads, people opt in. And then the rest is talk. And then you're closers, right? So those are pretty exciting. To me, it's very exciting to see the real world impact.
Wow. And how nice. Me thinking back to my days when I was smiling and dialing in sales and having to listen to so many dial tones. And basically 80, 90% of my dials were phone calls that went unanswered.
Yes.
So that is huge. And then if I understood correctly, it's the first part of the call will be with AI and it is an AI voice. But then when somebody says the right things, they get transferred to a live closer or salesperson. So that's a human who's ready to chat with you and they know that, hey, this call was happening and here's what they just said. Boom, I'm in. I drop in on the conversation and I say, hey, cool, let's book you for some time.
Exactly, right? And in between this, you have talk AI to whisper to Dimitri as a closer, say, hey, I just talked to Derek. He has this need and go ahead, right? And boom, everything connected.
So you're giving context too there.
Absolutely, right? It's making the sale. That's where the closer rate on their end is skyrocketing as well. It's just no longer just a blind to blind calls. It's calls with context, calls with transfers. And then that also echoed by our ability to, you know, appointment making, right? Hey, you were saying, I really don't want to get this call transferred right now. Can I book an appointment? Yeah. We can offer time, be in real time, converse with you. Hey, you can book something next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Our sales team is going to call you back. Wow. All those things are combined.
That is so cool. And now I know working with AI and machine learning, you're talking about some of these features being a little bit agentic, like, if someone says, I want to update my VIN number, and then you automatically update that on the CRM, that is incredible. But I also know from playing with agentic tooling, it can be a little unstable sometimes. How do you make sure that what the customer says is actually what gets put into the CRM and almost like put these guardrails on it so that somebody wants to update their VIN number and then they get charged $1,000 because they needed a new Cadillac converter or something.
So I think there's multi points of kind of the check and balances, right? So number one, the natural defect of a large language model and the conversation is hallucination, right? So if you're in a support scenario, as you talk about this, we actually build our own knowledge base around the large language model, which we tailor to this purpose. And the knowledge base need be no, absolutely zero hallucination, right? That's actually the facts that we can provide to people. Number one, all different layers of optimization has been put in there. And then outside of this is where we wrap around the automation layer. Our automation layer is not derived by any large language model. It's really our ways of saying, this need to be 100% accurate. For example, in auto insurance space, one of the key factor is for the new insurance carrier to ask, what's your bodily injury, right? That could be 10,000, 20,000, you have it, right? Different list. And the customer may not know. They may have said, oh, I have 10, 20.
Yeah.
If you just have a normal conversation AI company, they don't know what that is. But because of our plugin system, we can very precisely know what your bodily injury is and pass that information back to people, right? With 100% confidence of what that is. So it's really a combined factor between machine learning, our automation, and then the language model that we build all together. It's a full package.
So I was hoping you were going to say that because it is, you're using AI when you need to use AI, but you're not using AI as much as possible and you're replacing it with heuristics so that it can be more reliable.
100%. And that the automation need to be purely API to API, right? That's the most robust. And I like the term used for agentic, right? That's what we call our AI agents. It need to be performing those actions.
That autonomy. That's what is the beautiful part. And it is one of those things that has so much interest and there's so much going on around it, but also I think we've been promised the stars and really We're not even at the moon yet. So it's like, I, a lot of times, want to know how people are doing the agentic stuff, because I've seen everything from an agent that is able to navigate a web page by the pixels that it has and click on different buttons and that stuff. But that isn't reliable. It can do it, but it doesn't do it 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
So when you're in these situations, as you were talking about, where you're dealing with enterprises or you're dealing with companies that need this to be reliable, you can't take your chances on that kind of thing.
You can't do anything funny, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So those are mission critical ways. And that's where our prior experience with enterprise really helped us to think how we can, well, there's two things that we always tell people is, we cannot ask you to use our CRM system or anything, right? You are enterprise. We have to bring ourselves to you. And how do I bring ourselves to you? It's like what I did back in Stratify. We developed 130 different data connectors to all different parts of the organization. We are looking the same way of saying, hey, how can we API into most other systems, right? Mission critical ones, we have a strong integration like a Salesforce, HubSpot, Zoho, where they bi-directional integrate into Talk. But then what if you have the warranty updates, which is a third-party system? Let's API it into it. Let's build out a lookup table, right? We got guys in a kind of main service where we reach out and say, hey, can you help me do a pricing quote? Great. We can actually have a pricing lookup inside our subsystem. Just say, depending on you've got two kids, two rooms, here is how much you have to in real time for the prospects.
I love that. That is so cool to be able to do that. And like I said before, a lot of times I'm not necessarily interested in talking with somebody from sales right now. I just want to get the information, and it feels like you can give me that information, like a pricing lookup. That's probably the number one thing people want to know. If there's the, when you go to the pricing page and it says, just talk to sales as the call to action, and it doesn't give you any pricing. Usually it's like, this sounds expensive.
Exactly.
So if you get that from the call, then it's way better. Man, this has been a blast talking with you, Derek. I'm so happy for all your success, and I look forward to hearing what else you all can create.
Sounds great. No, thanks for being a strong partner, and thanks for having me on the podcast.